This is Liberty Rhea, episode 4, Solutions. I'm going to start out today just by giving a shout out. We are in the middle of a worldwide pandemic, coronavirus. So I'm going to say prayers for all of our medical people out there busting their behinds way more hours than they normally do, dealing with not only the regular duties, but also dealing with the pandemic. And then added on top of that, all the government regulations that they're having to contend with right now. So big prayers, thank yous go out to everyone who is currently helping with the coronavirus. Now, people are probably sick of me complaining about the economic system during the coronavirus, but my concern is what is happening because of the coronavirus, which is why I'm going to talk about solutions today, because I think we need solutions rather than just focusing on the problem. So I'm not a medical, you know, person. I put my faith in other people and my loved ones in my lives who are much better at medical things. But from what we understand about the coronavirus, is pretty much any type of, you know, virus, bacteriological ways to boost your immunity. So going outdoors, getting vitamin D, outdoors, sunshine. For Liberty Real Estate Investors Association, the best thing for coronavirus is private property. And I know that I'm probably making my Marxist listeners, if anyone would listen, upset. But private property is the best thing for the coronavirus. Not only because people who have the coronavirus are susceptible to the coronavirus, if they have their own private property in which to quarantine, that is going to minimize the exposure, not only to themselves, but also to everyone else. Anytime you have private property, even a private, maybe long-term care facility, private hospital, those private property owners are going to make the decisions that are going to be best in most instances for the coronavirus. So wash hands. It's great to see everyone out there making masks. It's a great example of how demand is increased. And so not only do we have the added monetary incentive, the pricing mechanism, increasing the price of masks, but we're also saying if you make a mask, you're adding like $10 worth of value to society as a whole. So thank you for everyone who's out there contributing and making masks. That's great. So it is great to actually see things being made in the United States. So one thing also to realize is that this too shall pass. Something that my mother always used to say, this too shall pass. It's not our first rodeo when it comes to these types of pandemics. It's the first time that the government has ever just completely freaked out across the world. I would say that this is the first time the government has completely freaked out. But this is not in any way the first time that we've had a pandemic like this. So just keep that in mind. This too shall pass. Other things to consider if you're more that the government is a source of all goodness. Just remember that this virus came from China, which is a communist socialist state. So just consider that. Again, private property is the answer, as you're well aware with my channel. And communist China, think about how many people live in maybe block housing or something. They've been able to buy their own houses. But again, even in China, where they espouse communism, socialism, they're using private property as a way to combat the coronavirus. So I'm done talking about coronavirus. So grateful that it is going through and shall pass. A lot of people are asymptomatic. I pray for all of those who have two or three underlying conditions who coronavirus might be the straw on the camel's back that takes them out of this planet. But prayers for them and their families during this time. Now I'm going to talk about economic solutions, because I'm sure people are sick of me talking about economics. Everything comes back to economics. That's why it's so important to understand economics fundamentally. And not just the mainstream view on economics, but also what the Austrians are saying about it. And every so many years, the economists say, oh, everything is great. You know, unemployment, the mainstream economists say everything is great. You know, we have full employment, blah, 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 low CPI. And the Austrians are always saying the same thing. It's a bubble, it's going to blow, right? Bubble, 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 bubble. Because it is based on the idea that we can inflate our way to economic and stable markets, which Austrians know that you cannot. That's one of their core tenets, is that you cannot predict and create a perfect economy by throwing the levers through central planning. So talking about solutions, let's go back to what really did make America great. There is no question that throughout the history of mankind, there has never been a nation that was as great as America. And you can argue with me all day about how awful we were and how, you know, Western society is of the devil and all of this stuff. But when you look at the ideas that created America, they are the ideas of Christianity. And liberty. And these two principles are at the core of what made the United States the greatest nation in the world, the fastest growing nation in the world. It was not perfect, but at the same time, Christianity and liberty, the idea of individualism, which is contrary to the ways of the world. The ways of the world are always authoritarianism, collectivism. Christianity teaches that this is God and this is you. And that's how it works. You and God have a relationship right here through Christianity. And you might say, well, no, it's not. And there were deists, the founders and everything. But if you look at the majority of what was being said, everyone was Christian. They all believed in God. And the only difference between Christianity and some of the other belief systems is that Christianity itself had kind of the model of the perfect man, which would be Jesus. So how does that come and bring liberty to us? So if you're unfamiliar with Jesus, Jesus was, our understanding is, the creator of the universe essentially brought to earth. And what happened was he was killed. Killed by various people in the Jerusalem in 33 AD. But in any event, you don't have to know much more about Jesus other than the idea is that there could have been millions of angels come to his rescue. But so we understand God as a non-interventionist in Christianity. we understand God is not only a non, but also a non-aggression principle, comes from God through Christianity. You can say that there are, Eastern religions that also preach this as well, but it's a very different type of understanding because it's not necessarily, it does not bring the idea of individualism the same way that it is in Christ. Anyway, so that's where we get the idea of liberty and non-aggression, comes from Christianity. And this liberty, and this is an important point because there's two different versions of liberty, right? There's a Christ-centered liberty, which is thy will. And there is a Luciferian-based liberty, which is my will. This right here is the key to understanding pretty much everything in theology, in terms of, and then understanding it through the Christian lens. Thy will are tend to be the Judeo-Christian beliefs. Is that we do right because it is right. Then my will tends to be the what might be classified as the Luciferian beliefs. And I'm not going to go into this, but this is a spiritual side that if you want to go down that, understand what's going on. Most of the elites end up down here. And again, we can call them out, but this is really the core of Christianity, is, you know, following the will of Christ or God versus what my will is to do evil or to be as greedy as possible. And in that is how we can have a society based on individualism. As soon as you cut that out, everything disappears. You're right here. And that's what kills good nations. Killed the United States so far. Hopefully we can bring it back. Solutions. Within libertarian thought, and I'll write it with a capital, but it's really a more of a principle, right? Principles of liberty. Let's just call it liberty principles. And I'm going to secularize it here. If anyone had trouble following what I spoke about Christianity, just talk about liberty principles. What are some of the principles of liberty that we get on this planet? So here's Earth, right? The principles of liberty are that in order to live on this planet, where do our rights come from? Rights, we as Christians say they come from God. From God. All right. Judeo-Christians believe this all also, typically, but mostly this is a Christian idea. Our rights come from God. Now, one of the things that does that, that makes that a transcendent belief. Nothing worldly can take that away. There is nothing on the world that can take your rights come from God. And the way we express our rights on this planet is through private property. Any of the freedoms, the freedom to think, to do anything, comes from your own possession of your body. Your body is your private property. Not only can people not hurt you, harm you, put you in prison and detain you, but the other thing that they can't do is to just push you out of the way, right? Wherever you're standing, you have the right to occupy that for a specific space of time. So private property. So we can apply the same idea of private property to absolutely everything on this planet and use a similar type of way to understand it. So we extend our rights to our body also to the places and things that we own. And so what comes from our body? Maybe we're able to work, right? So we are the owners of all of those things which we work on this planet to procure. Some of them might be nature-given, given. And those types of goods are first appropriated by someone. And what that means is that nobody else has a prior claim to that. You are taking that from nature. No one else has any problem with you taking it because it's not been owned by anyone before. Okay? So that's where homesteading also comes in. And then once it has been homesteaded or it's a nature-given product, what we end up being able to do with private property is to have voluntary exchange. So this idea of voluntarism, that is key and core to the solution of what we have come to accept in the United States and throughout the world as true, which is that no, your rights do not come from God. They are bequeathed to you by the state or the authority. Right? Again, so if we have that, and this is where the priesthood comes in and has come in throughout history. Priesthood. You. That right there is just, you could replace priesthood with state. You could replace all of this with state. Get rid of God. The state is the new priesthood. And they just get rid of God and put themselves in place of it. So getting back to what we can do with, is getting back to our natural principles of liberty, which have been destroyed throughout most of the world for whatever reason. Rights come from God is transcendent. You might not be able to convince everyone of that, but it's their own shortcoming, because even if you don't believe in God, the idea of something that's wholly transcendent, wholly outside of the realms of this entire world, that you can say, whether it's made up or not, I don't believe it's made up, but you get to believe in something that cannot be taken away from you. That's the beauty of it. Private property, you are the owner of your body. You are entitled to the work, the goods and fruits that you get from your work, and it's only through voluntary exchange that those things can be taken from you. I'm going to go ahead and discuss why the monetary system, which is what we Austrians are constantly complaining about, we tend to, any type of government intervention is a way of denying those basic first core principles. But the monetary system itself is at the core of the fiat-based war, aggression, debt-based system. It is in itself a complete abrogation of the notions we discussed earlier about Christianity and liberty. So, what are some solutions to the monetary system problem? You don't have an illness or a cold that causes the entire world economy to completely collapse. That's a fundamental structural problem with the system. That is a structural problem. Right? I'm not saying it's not a problem. What I'm saying is it's a structural problem when you have the monetary system blown out and the only option is to basically QE infinity. QE infinity is not an answer. It is an answer, but really with QE infinity, the only question is qui bono. Who benefits? And that's why people will see me and they'll be like, why are you advocating just complete hyperinflation given to the people? The qui bono, who benefits? The people or the elite, right? I don't like it at all. People or the elite. It's going to suck because they're going to inflate away. And the problem is who gets the benefit? Somebody loses. That's the problem with our current monetary system. And this is the problem with government, is government creates winners and losers. Winners and losers. So who have been the winners over the last, say, 150 years of the United States? It's been the banks. It's been big business. The elites, if you want to call it that. But the goal is not to form a big, giant Marxist system. It's not Marxism. It's not the answer. Marxism itself was a product of the banks, if you do any historical analysis, created in the City of London for the purpose of creating this notion that is completely fictional. And yet almost everyone in any mainstream, whether it's school, whether it's even the right wing, for the most part, they just have different variations of Marxism. Marxism, you have a central bank. I mean, central bank, right? This is a Marxist bank. Let's put here, put a guy with a beard or something, right? That's your Marxist banker, okay? It's a bank, and it sucks everything out of everybody, and there's no private property. So thanks, Marxism. People say, well, we have a mixed economy. Austrians, I talked about Austrians before, do not believe in a mixed economy. It's kind of like, what is it they say when a woman is kind of pregnant? You know, mixed economy, it doesn't exist. People say, well, there's no such thing as a free market. Well, we can try to obtain it. There's definitely a lot freer than most. And when it comes back to those original principles, private property, all of the Bill of Rights come from the idea of private property, and you are the owner of your body. So, monetary system is a structural problem. So what should we do? Okay, what shall we do? Okay, so number one, what shall we do as a solution in my mind to fix the United States? We talked about core principles. Let's talk about things we can do. End all foreign wars. This is number one. Foreign wars. Voop. Non-aggression principle is that we have no right to be over there telling other countries what to do with their people, their land, their private property. All foreign wars that we are currently engaged in are all about destroying their private property, destroying their right to autonomy. War itself is a war against the people and their private property. That's what it is. Take it over for the state. Number two, it's another thing we can do. Return the United States to pre-Civil War. Non-aggression. People might see my posts and think I don't like the United States. No, that's not true at all. The United States, it was founded as a Christian nation. Read de Tocqueville. He basically said that democracy is worthless unless you have a people who is moral, and especially a Christian society who loves God and their neighbor. Otherwise, you end up with a French Revolution where they're basically atheists and they just kill everybody. Yay, democracy. See, democracy, I'll do another episode just completely on democracy, but it's not about the type of government. It's about the people who live in the country, what their ideology is. So return to pre-Civil War non-aggression. People say, but what about slavery? Slavery was dying at the time of the Civil War. The Civil War was primarily about taxation because the North was taking out its aggression on the South by stealing its money through tariffs. The slavery issue was an issue. It was just not the issue. If anybody's done the research and the idea of Lincoln, I don't know why people, especially black people, like Lincoln. Lincoln, he himself did not like black people. Lincoln and Hitler had a lot in common. Why? because Lincoln wanted to ship them all out of the United States. Okay? Hitler wanted to do the same thing. He wanted, instead of Liberia, he wanted to send them to Madagascar. So if you like Lincoln and you think that the Civil War is just the bee's knees, think again. We need to go back to a pre-Civil War. And also slavery. Slavery was economically unviable. Again, read de Tocqueville, the economist of the time. Why would you want to have a slave who does the bare minimum of work and you're responsible for their housing, their food, everything for them? You're responsible for taking care of them in old age, right? What we did, and what happened during the Civil War, is that we became what we killed. This idea of you become what you kill. So the North killed off slavery. Killed slavery in the South and turned everyone else in the entire nation into a slave, a debt slave. So think about what I was saying. Think about what the slaves, you have to provide housing, food. You have to provide old age care, child care. They might have sold some of the children, but child care, all this stuff. Does this look familiar? Housing, food, old age care. What has happened in the United States? You've all become slaves. Just under a different name. And it's for the government. You're a slave of the government. Yay, good job. Yay, United States. You killed 650,000 of your own people and you became slaves. Woohoo. All right, enough on the Civil War. So getting back to the idea of pre-Civil War. So what is it that the states had before the Civil War? They had this idea of nullification and secession. This didn't just disappear because 650,000 U.S. people died. That was not solved, right? Nullification and secession. The idea that you can peacefully, through non-aggression, join a union. You can peacefully leave a union. The other thing is that through nullification, you tell the federal government, okay, you say that you can kill babies that aren't born yet. Well, you can say that is not something that we as a state support. We say no abortion. And you don't send the military to tell us we can't. It's understood that we as states have the right to check you. It's a checks and balances. It's not just the Supreme Court gets to say everything. That's a modern invention. That's not originally how this worked. The idea of the states is we come together for common economies, we come together for defense, but when it comes to these issues of ideological difference, you don't get the federal government just telling everyone what to do. That's not cool. So let's see, number four. Nullify all progressive era legislation. So probably making the Marxist butt pucker, but you get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank. It's private anyway. You guys hate private entities. Federal Reserve Bank. Then you get rid of the income tax. The income tax, for you Marxists, is one of the dumbest things you ever did. I don't know why you don't see through it as Marxism. It's just the bankers love this thing. Why? Because if you saw my episode about money, it's a pyramid, a structure, the way the world works with, you know, the banks on top, and then you as a wage slave are getting taxed down here. How is Marxist? Does that make any sense? Well, there'll be a revolution if we just tax these people enough. It doesn't make any sense, okay? So nullify all progressive era legislation, Federal Reserve income tax. Notice I say federal level. Put that there, federal. There's no reason that the federal government should be telling everybody what to do about this, right? So write off all debts. Here's something, debt forgiveness. I doubt it's going to happen, but it's going to happen one way or the other. The market right now is sending signals. And again, back to my, we didn't follow the ideas of Christianity and liberty, and now we're ending up with a market that's telling us what we have to do. We have to forgive debt because the market is going to clear that debt. There is so much debt, not enough savings. It's basically saying, it's like you are sick and you have diarrhea or something. It's saying, get rid of the debt. You can't have the debt, even though you've been artificially dropping interest rates beyond market forces. The debt has to go away. It's either going to be debt forgiveness, it's going to be bankruptcy, or it's going to be inflation. And again, qui bono, who gets to benefit from this? Who has benefited from this? The elites and the banks. So there you go, bankruptcy or inflation, which way do you want? But this is going to happen, it's just a question of how. So then, now that we have gotten rid of our debts, and especially the Federal Reserve System. So Federal Reserve System. I'll just write Fed. I've pretty much covered it up here, but Fed. All right, now talk about write off all debts, repatriate all gold. So we go back to, this ties into sound money, but repatriate the gold that was stolen from the people. Gold and silver. I don't care how, you can do a Robin Hood thing on this, I don't really care. Even if it's, you know, sent out and the population gets it, because most likely the poor people are just going to spend it on stupid stuff anyway that ends up in the hands of the people who actually create value in the marketplace. So even if you did a total, here, this is like a Marxist wet dream, right? Redistribution, right there, babe. You could do that. They say, oh no, we can't. Well, okay. And maybe as an Austrian, I'm not in line with what Austrians would say, but to me, the fact that the gold and silver is held by a small group of people up here is ridiculous, that like all other products should be down here and it should be going back and forth, even if it's just fully digital. But what happens is you go to the local bank and you say, oh, I have a balance of, can I redeem so many grams of gold, whatever, or so many grams of silver. And then all federal lands not constitutionally approved. There's no reason for 50% of the West to be owned by the federal government. That's ridiculous. Not mill, I'll just write not mill or et cetera. Number 8 is going to be states divide by ideology. Here in Washington State, we have the Liberty State. Which I've adopted as the Liberty Real Estate Investors, but I also make it more metaphysical. It's like, the Liberty State is the world, right, in my mind. Because the whole ideas are what cause the world. It gives me goosebumps. It's like ideas are what determines whether we live in what I talked about before, the Christ-based liberty, or we live by the state, right? So the Liberty State, my goal is for the entire world to be run by a liberty state based upon non-aggression principles. If you can do that, it doesn't matter what your beliefs are, unless you're obviously going after people with aggression. But if everyone lives in a non-aggression, you can have Christians, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, everybody lives together in peace, because no one is going to go against private property in order to take what other people have. So states divide by ideology. So the Marxists, whatever you want to call them, leftists, they run their states, and then ideally there'll be a wholly libertarian somewhere state, or as close as you can get to it. Take minarchists. I'd even take a more of a like a conservative state. Because these principles are more or less compatible. This is not compatible with these. So that not equals, right? So we'll have states divided by these ideologies, because you can't have, these cannot exist together. That's a thing that they could potentially hear, and that's why I'm talking about the liberty state and non-aggression principle. These guys can divide up. So you have a state, let's say California or something, right? Maybe divided into three or whatever, as well as people can secede just in their local area too if they really want. The idea of non-violence, non-aggression works into that by dividing left, right, or at least, you know, more authoritarian. Let's do authoritarian versus more freedom. Freedom-based. On a continuum, what that does is that allows a free market of ideology. It's beautiful because it creates somewhat of a free market of ideology. And the Marxists will say, no, you have to be a Marxist or you have to be somewhere in here. Why as Marxists are you guys wanting to be right here? If your wet dream is a state that's completely authoritarian, why do you keep bringing freedom people along? And the answer historically is you just kill them, right? That's historically what has happened. But from an authoritarian standpoint, why not vote to have your own Marxist state within the United States? You'll have to, you know, do certain things, but it's going to end up more like, you know, Soviet Russia, or it's going to end up like a, you know, a European country. And then what will happen, and this is part of the reason why Marxists don't want this, is because what typically happens, is that anyone who has really high IQ and notions of freedom and creating value will flow this way. That's how it worked. That's why most of the people in the United States are rugged individuals, because they left Europe. Our ancestors left Europe because they didn't want this. They wanted this. And yet we got here and we created this. But it does still have at least a lip service to liberty. And again, this would be post-Civil War. And then really ramped up during the Progressive Era, post-1913. All right, so that was number 8. So what are some other, and these, getting back into sound money, free market money. You want all digital currency, okay. Sound money, and that can be whatever your market determines. But you get rid of all legal tender laws. And why do the authoritarians hate that? Authoritarians hate that because it means that they can no longer skim. Legal tender laws means that we are going back to commodity money. But the beauty is we have the technology now to make it digital. That's beautiful. So you can redeem it. And we can create with time deposits and demand deposits. And again, if we really understand this, it will be the responsibility of the banks to not blow themselves out. And if they do, we don't save them. They die. And first you bail out the people here and you wipe out anyone with equity in that bank. That's how it's supposed to work, right? You had equity in a bank and you screwed up, bye-bye equity. These guys might lose something, but at the end of the day, the demand deposit should just be there. So you put your money in the bank, you get it all back. Time deposits, now that's a little different because you are engaged in more of a risky venture, but the demand deposit should be there at 100%. So sound money, and gold and silver will most likely come back, but we didn't even go that far. Because the market will determine that. And historically, that's what happens. The precious metals will take that place. So 10. What's another option is decentralization. These are getting a little bit more kind of general as well as lofty. This is kind of just brainstorming this. Decentralized. We don't want centralization. Centralization has led to the entire world basically being, there's no bulkheads. There's no place that you can say the monetary system isn't based on the dollar, essentially. Gaddafi tried to do it, and we saw he died. Ha! Right? Thanks, Hillary. So 11, what else can we do? Fusion economy. How about having a fusion engine in your vehicle rather than focusing on all this government force-based renewables? Renewables are great. It has a place in the marketplace. It's just not baseload. We have to come up with some type of fusion economy, fusion. And I don't even need fusion. I mean, it could be X. That's the beauty of free markets, is it can be whatever in the future. It's just we need to get it here now. Stop worrying about fossil fuels. At this point, we're not going to have to worry about fossil fuels because there's no demand for them. I mean, if the economy tanks to the point where it's not even economically viable to get it out of the ground, that's kind of where we're going at this point. I don't believe that's going to last very long, but so fusion technology, and then just an idea of how this thing spread, private transportation. How about interplanetary or at least interterrestrial high-speed commuting? Some type of anti-gravity technology or something. We need to get away from this idea that we build a bubble and we put everybody in it, breathing on each other and sharing everything. Private property, come on. I mean, I understand this is private property of the airline. This is an airplane. It's a really bad airplane. But you're putting everybody in here, breathing on each other. Well, the economics makes it that way. Well, but also these giant airlines have been supported by the pyramid, and I drew it before, you know? I could say that none of these people, if they had another option brought to them by the marketplace, wants to fly on a gas-guzzling, petri dish. So that is my episode 4, my solutions episode. So thank you for joining me on this little trip with Liberty Real Estate Investors Association. Remember, in liberty, all our rights come from God. And on this planet, all of our rights are derived from private property. Thank you.